Where are we today in terms of the data on the use of checkpoint inhibitors, and including the more recent data looking at ipi/nivo? But globally, where are we, first of all, with monotherapy in terms of numbers and response rate?
So when we look at pembrolizumab, nivolumab, the initial data that we saw a higher response rate for pembrolizumab compared to nivolumab. You know, pembro in the range of 50-60%, nivolumab in the range of 30%. But these were very small studies, very small studies. At ASCO recently, when you look at the more expanded experience on pembrolizumab, responses have come down to the 30-35% range. But this is response. There are a lot of patients who also have stable disease. So we're looking at progression-free survival, and there is actually a plateau in these patients with single-agent therapy, which could be in the range of about 25-30%. But if we add ipilimumab, you know, to nivolumab, we lift this plateau up by about 15-20%, which is really interesting. So I do believe at some point down the line, we'll move away from just single-agent PD-1 antibodies to combination and potentially even include chemotherapy, which I find intriguing based on the lung cancer data, you know, which really showed immunotherapy, antigen release, priming the immune system, and then taking the brakes off the immune system could actually be the right way to go.
Well, people want to get that checkpoint inhibitor in early anyhow because of the possibility of prolonged response.
Yes. And it could be different in MSI-high colon cancer, which is very immunogenic, compared to kind of lung cancer. It could be different from tumor to tumor. Our problem right now is the MSS tumors. You know, Johanna's trial, you know, the cobimetinib-atezolizumab study really did not pay out. And compared to regorafenib, absolutely no different, not even a hint of a subgroup that could benefit.
What do you see in terms of PD-L1 and tumor mutation burden assays in MSI?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, we know that these cancers have very high mutational burden, and we just actually saw data presented that the different enzymes that are deficient, whether it's MLH1, MSH6, or PMS2, for instance, they are associated with differences in tumor mutational burden. So MSH6, for instance, mutation or deficiency have the highest tumor mutational burden, MLH1 lower tumor mutational burden. Now, we have not yet correlated this with outcome.
So you see a high tumor mutation burden in general with MSI-high disease?
Yes, very high tumor mutational burden.
That makes sense, but what about PD-1 levels?
They are loosely correlated, but when you do multivariate adjustment, PD-L1 in MSI-high tumors do not play a role anymore.
So, as you mentioned, you do have these single-arm data sets that look exciting about ipi/nivo. Would you attempt to do that outside of trial setting? Could you imagine a situation where you might want to do that?
Yes, I could. I mean, the data so far we have at Mayo Clinic particularly used a lot of pembrolizumab, but I see the nivolumab, ipilimumab data are pretty convincing, and they recently published, so you have full publication to go back to. And I believe, you know, this is likely the future. If it was me myself, I could see getting treated with ipilimumab and nivolumab, particularly since ipi, because everyone's afraid of ipilimumab toxicities, it's only four doses at a low dose. So the toxicity is not as threatening as we might have thought initially.